Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
Welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. I am Emerald Greenforest, and today we welcome our very special guest, Stephen Sashin. Stephen is a serial entrepreneur who has never had a job. Yes.
You're clearly not my dad.
Yeah. Former professional stand-up comic and award-winning screenwriter and a competitive sprinter. One of the fastest men over 55 in the country. Yes. He and his wife, Lena Phoenix, co-founded the footwear company Zero Shoes and appeared on Shark Tank, where they turned down a $400,000 offer from Kevin O'Leary. So I am super excited to have you on the show today, Stephen. And I do have to let everyone know that we actually got an opportunity to meet in person at the New Media Summit this spring, I think it was. It was either the spring or the fall. I'm not sure.
It was sometime in the past, and that's about as close as I can get to that.
Sometime in the past. So Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast. We are so happy to have you here.
Thank you. Pleasure being here.
All right. Fastest man over 55. That's so exciting. What I really want to talk about is Zero Shoes, and I think they're probably interconnected. So clearly you have a calling, first of all, to never have a job, and second of all, to serve people's feet. So let's talk about that calling, and I'd love to hear how that generated itself in you so that you ultimately ended up founding Zero Shoes.
Well, egads, I got back into sprinting, not running. I don't run, I sprint. That means I just go a very short distance really, really fast on a track. I don't take turns. I don't know how to do that. I don't do slow things. It's just, you know, again, really quick, short things. So that was when I was 45, and I was getting injured pretty much constantly for about 2 years. And a friend of mine, he's a world champion cross-country runner, he said, why don't you take off your shoes, see if you learn anything from running barefoot, which I thought was absurd at the time, but I figured, what the hell? I took off my shoes. Just so happened there was actually a barefoot running club. They were having a meeting over the weekend, so I joined them. And we went for a little run. I was so transfixed by the experience of just feeling the ground. We were on rocks and on grass and on trails and on roads and on sidewalks and just experimenting with my gait, seeing what happened if I moved my feet faster but didn't run faster or vice versa or all these different things. It was just really amazing. And at the end of it, someone had a GPS watch on and I said, how far was that? She goes, that was a little over 5K. I went, I'm sorry, what?
and you're a sprinter.
Exactly. So I was amazed by that. I was also amazed that I ended up with a big blister on the ball of my left foot. And unlike many people who with that would go, oh, this clearly doesn't work. I got a big blister. I thought, the left leg is the one that gets injured more often. The right foot is fine. So my next barefoot run, I figured, let me see if I could solve that. If I could run without hurting that gaping hole still on my foot, then that would probably be a good thing. And I was probably doing something that didn't cause the problem to begin with. And after 9 minutes and 30 seconds of excruciating pain, when I was just about to stop, something changed and my running got faster, easier, lighter. The pain went away. And I know now what I learned then. I didn't know that. I just kind of felt it in my body and stuck with that. And within a few weeks, my injuries were gone. I was getting faster. I became a Masters All-American sprinter. Technically, for men over 55, you may be talking to the fastest Jew in the world. And not a lot of competition there. So that started it all. I realized that what the shoe companies have been doing to feet for the last 50 years is reprehensible. So squeezing your toes together, elevating your heel, a whole bunch of padding that's supposed to reduce impact forces that don't, stiffen up so your feet can't bend and move. I mean, basically your foot is this marvel of engineering with a quarter of the bones and joints of your entire body and more nerve endings in your soles than anywhere but your fingertips and your lips. This is not an accident. You're supposed to use these things and shoes don't let you do that. So I wanted to have that natural movement experience as much as I could while still getting into restaurants or places that required footwear. And so I made some sandals, just like a little bit of rubber strapped to my foot based on a 10,000-year-old design. And one day that coach from that barefoot running club said, if you had a website, I would put you in this book that I'm writing about barefoot running. I've been an internet marketer since about 1992. I've built about 500 websites. So I rush home and I pitch my brilliant idea to my wife, who assures me that I am completely full of it and it was a horrible idea. Do not do this. And I'm a good husband, so I agreed. And also a regular husband. So when she went to bed, I built a website.
Of course you did.
You know, and that's how it really began. And we've evolved from this do-it-yourself sandal kit company to a full active lifestyle brand with shoes and sandals for casual and performance use. And the thing that really motivates us is twofold. The things would be twofold. Thing number one, we hear from people every day who say, this has changed my life. Your shoes have made it so that I can run, walk, hike, whatever it is, pain-free for the first time, either ever or in years. And it's not because of the shoes doing anything. It's because they get out of the way and let your body work naturally. The second thing is I don't like it when people make money by lying to other people. And the major footwear brands are, I'm going to let you edit this out if it's inappropriate, but I'm just going to say, lying sacks of shit. And so I sometimes bemoan that running shoes don't kill people, because if they did, this would be as big of a deal as the tobacco case was. Because every year they come up with some magic new technology and say, this is going to be the thing that changes your life. And A, it never does. And B, they never apologize for the last time they said that. I mean, they are the boy who cried magic new running shoes. For whatever reason, after 50 years of this, we still go, oh, magic new running shoes. We go out and check them out. And the research is unequivocal that padding does not help in any way. It can actually cause the problems they claim to cure, and that natural movement is a real thing that's helpful. Think of it this way. You break your arm, you put it in a cast. It gets weaker while it's not being used. When you come out of the cast, you have to do things to strengthen it and you'll be fine. Same thing with every part of your body, especially your feet. You don't use them, you lose them. If you do use them at any point, you can get that strength back again. And the not using them part is a big deal, because as we get older, it can lead to what happens to many, many elderly people. They start having balance problems, like my dad did. They trip, like my dad did. They fall down and break their hip, like my dad did. And they're dead 2 weeks later, like my dad did. So put all that together, and we're trying to create a movement to make natural movement the obvious choice for people, the way that natural food currently is, starting with the feet first. So we like to say, live life feet first.
Beautiful. Wow. You are so clear about what you're here to do. And so thank you for saying yes to that calling, Stephen, because...
Well, look, it was really accidental in so many ways, and including the fact that I'm running this company with my wife. And that's the biggest, luckiest thing that's ever happened to me, because we are a really good team. I'm the product marketing vision person. She's the operations finance person. We never talked about going into business together, but it's been the most gratifying thing that I've ever done, is working with this amazing woman.
Beautiful. So when did Zero Shoes launch?
Technically, end of November 2009, but again, for the first 3.5 years, what we were selling was a DIY kit.
Right.
Piece of rubber,
right.
String, instructions on how to make your own sandals. We didn't have our first ready-to-wear shoe until October of 2016, and now the closed-toe shoes are over 50% of our business, so that's where things are really exploding.
Wow, beautiful. So do you still run barefoot, or do you wear your shoes when you're running?
When I'm on the track, I do everything up to like 85% of full speed barefoot. And then when I have to go over that, I'm in a pair of our shoes, just because at the speed that I'm at, running on a Mondo track surface would rip the crap out of my feet. So I need to have some little bit of protection.
Because you're so fast.
Fast enough.
Fastest man over 55.
No. There's a bunch of guys who are faster than I am. A lot of them are former professional athletes.
And, sure.
So I feel pretty good about kind of being, you know, in the running up there. No pun intended.
Literally in the running.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're getting close to the break. But before we get to the break, I want to ask you about courage, because it took courage to disobey the wife and go build the website. And it takes some courage to be very vocal and very clear about what you feel about the big shoe companies. So I'd love to hear what you do in your own life to amplify your courage, to exercise your courage muscle. Like for me, courage means wholehearted. So to stay wholehearted in this movement that you're creating.
I wish I could say it required anything, but it really doesn't. We're really committed to what we're doing. We hear from people every day who tell us the effect that we've had on them. So that's a big motivator, if you will. And then seeing what the shoe companies continue to do. I was at a trade show recently, and I could have taken the logos from every other shoe and swapped them around, and nobody would have known the difference. That's just ridiculous. So I get a never-ending supply of bullshit to respond to on a daily basis. and, you know, wonderful things to hear and respond to on a daily basis. So it doesn't take a whole lot of work. And candidly, there's another piece to this as well. I'm 56 years old right now, and my wife is 6 years younger than I am, and we're on the entrepreneurial retirement program. So we're all in. We had someone approach us. They said, you know, we'd love to license your product, and we'll give you like 2% of everything we sell. I went, for us to get the amount of money we would need to retire just comfortably, you would have to then create the most successful shoe company in history. Guys, well, I think that's possible. Yeah, it's not going to happen. So we're building something in the face of hundreds of billions of dollars of competition. And I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a simple thing. You know, again, we have the truth on our side. It's pretty effortless when that's the case. If you're selling a story that you have to convince yourself of, that's a whole different game. But I mean, we have something so simple, the truth, that everything else is a piece of cake.
Yeah, beautiful. I love that. All right, we got to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about how people can find out more about you and Zero Shoes. But for now, I want to thank all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. I want to shout out this week to our listeners in Texas. For some reason, Texas wants to be acknowledged. Last week, Kuwait added itself to our list of listeners around the world. We have 59 countries that are downloading. So thank you so much for tuning in. And we are going to be right back in just a moment with Stephen Sasson.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with Stephen Sasson, who is the founder and lead evangelist of Zero Shoes Company. And I want to tell you how you can find out more about Zero Shoes. You can go to xeroshoes.com or anywhere on social, you can go to @ZeroShoes. Again, that's xero shoes, shoes. And we'll put that into the show notes too. So, Stephen, let me ask you, like, how much are a pair of these shoes?
$1 billion.
$1 billion. You've got $1 billion shoe company right there.
That is sell one. Lena and I have made a number of decisions that are right for us and our consumers and not necessarily the right thing for business. And so our footwear is really affordable. So our shoes range from, don't hold me to it because I don't remember at the moment, but let's call it $49.99 to $149.99. So again, we have casual and performance shoes and sandals. The sandals are actually a little less expensive, but the price range is all pretty reasonable. And even more, unlike most running shoes, which they say you have to replace every 300 to 500 miles, our soles have a 5,000 mile sole warranty. We were inspired by tire sandals. And so when we thought about how to kind of guarantee the product, we thought about tires and tire warranties. It actually happened about 2 years in when someone would say, how long are these things going to last? And we would say, I don't know, no one's ever worn out a pair. So let's come up with an idea. And that's where our 5,000 mile warranty came from.
Beautiful. That's awesome. Well, and you know, the other thing that I love about what you've got going on here, Stephen, is that you are really helping people. You're helping people physically and you're helping people who are interested in spending time outdoors, interested in spending time moving their bodies, interested in being healthy. And so it's a perfect fit.
Perfect fit. Yeah. Perfect fit. Well, you know, my wife says it best. She says, look, there's enough shoe companies out there. There is no reason to start another unless your shoes change people's lives. Sure. And look, some of the ways that these can change your lives is simply finding something comfortable. I mean, imagine it's the end of the day. You've been on your feet all day. You come home, you kick off your shoes. If you feel better doing that, it's because you've been wearing the wrong shoes. Sure. If you have never accidentally gone to bed still wearing your shoes because you forgot you were wearing them, not because you're passing out drunk, you've been wearing the wrong shoes. If your shoes are more comfortable off your feet, wrong shoes. And just having something that's comfy enough that you could forget you're wearing them is a really big deal. Light enough that they don't fill up your pack or your suitcase, it's a really big deal. And then the fact that they let your body move naturally and cause all those other effects is, of course, an even bigger deal.
An even bigger deal. Well, you know, one of the things that I love about Men on Purpose is they're creative, and clearly you have that creativity bug. So I want to find out from you, like, what is your own creative process? Did you have like a moment of insight or brilliance? Do you put yourself into a state where you, you know, are intentionally being creative? Like, tell me a little bit about your creative process. And especially, I mean, you're a performer, professional stand-up comic. So you definitely have some creativity going on. You've created your own life. You've created a job-free life. You've created a shoe company. You've created, you know, so much. And so I'd love to hear about your creative process.
There are a couple of things that popped into my mind when you said that. One of them is that I'm a little too old. Had I been a little younger, they would have riddled this out of me. So I didn't get that. In fact, one of the highlights of my life was rummaging through the attic and finding my mother's report card from like sixth grade. And it said, Sylvia would be an incredible student if she would just learn to stop talking during class. And I ran downstairs and I slammed it on the kitchen table. I went, I don't want to hear another word from any of you people. And so it runs in the family. So on the one hand, I'm just sort of steeped in all this stuff, so I'm constantly thinking about it. So that's part of it. But the other thought that popped into my mind is, reminded me that I used to do stand-up comedy for a living. People used to do impressions of me. My friends used to do an impression of me, and the impression looked like this. So anyway, why don't we go, oh, wait, hold on. Okay. So a lot of it really is just things that pop into my brain. But you raised another sort of interesting point that I don't know any reliable way of forcing the issue or moving the water or whatever other metaphors you can think of. It happens when it happens. And so it's an ongoing process. One of my favorite things is when I wake up in the middle of the night thinking of something and I write it down and then I go look at it and I put it in my notes and I realize I've already written it down like five other times. So there's that. But it really just is this iterative process of thinking about what we're doing, why we're doing it. One of the things I'm pondering in answering this is it occurred to me that having conversations with people about mattresses, and then I'm seeing every mattress ad that was known to man, they're all the same thing. You could literally just replace the product in every given ad. And I realized that for footwear, they mostly do the same kind of thing, and the number one selling point is comfort. And I hadn't really been focusing on comfort because I wanted to focus on natural movement first, this whole idea of being barefoot inspired. And I wasn't really willing to go up there unless I could find the right way to do that while simultaneously differentiating ourselves from the people who just have their heads up their butts and they go, hey, look, you know, we're Joe Blow shoes with real Joe Blow technology. It's like, what? So that's been a process that just continues to evolve. So a lot of it is really just like setting it up and thinking about it and then waiting till it ripens. And I just can't speed that up or slow that down. It happens when it happens. And then I'm on a tear. And so it's really common about once a week, I'm going to bed, I can't get to sleep, and then I realize I got to go write this shit down.
Yeah.
And then I'm up to 4 a.m, just, you know, riffing on some variation of what it is.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you grew up in the era before Ritalin because, you know, totally. And my creative process also, you know, there are definitely times where there's dormancy, you know, and you just can't force the river. You can't make it come. You can't
force the river. That's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
No, one of the things that's difficult for me actually is that I used to do most of my thinking in the hot tub and we moved to a house that has no hot tub. And so it literally is trickier. I get a lot of ideas when I'm in the car, as long as the radio is off. And the other one is that if I have one of those days where it just is like cranking, I know that for the next day, maybe 2 days, I'm useless.
Yeah, because you have to give yourself over to the muse.
I don't have a choice. And even more, when it's done, it's just like done. And I know I'm going to be completely unable to accomplish anything for some period of time. It's, you know, just kind of like the way a nerve fires. It gets a little impulse, then it fires, and there's a refractory period where it can't do anything. And so that's just sort of the same pattern for almost anything I can think of, frankly.
Yeah, you and I have a very similar creative flow. At one point I made jewelry, I would sit down and in 3 days I'd churn out 45 pieces of jewelry and then I didn't touch it for 6 months. The work I have found at least is to flow when it's there with whatever it's directing you towards and then be open because sometimes you know, the next thing shows up. Oh, now we're making art. Okay, now we're making art. Oh, yeah. Now we're doing a marketing campaign. Oh, now we're doing a book. Now we're making shoes or whatever it is. So, yeah.
Well, you also reminded me when I was in film school, one of our teachers, a guy named Frank Danielle, the head of American Film Institute. And Frank just said, if you just sit down and write 2 pages a day, at the end of 60 days, you'll have a first draft of a screenplay, which means that you can crank out, you know, 60 days, whatever. That you, if you just do that every day at the end of a year, you could have 5 or 6 first drafts done. Now, the really creative part, in a way, is all the editing and all the changing after that. But just to have that practice of getting something out of your head can be really useful. And there's still going to be those moments where you don't do 2 pages a day, you do 10 pages. And the next day, you're just writing blah, 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 blah for 2 pages, because that's the only way you can get to the end of 2 pages. And that's cool, too.
Well, now let's talk about accountability and checking in, because I think men on purpose also, you know, they're courageous, they're creative, they have a calling, but they also check in. And so, like what you just said, having this practice of, you know, write 2 pages a day, that's kind of an accountability thing. So how do you hold yourself accountable and assess your progress and adjust along the way to really align with what you want?
Did I mention that I'm married to the other person in the company? Really, that's a huge piece of it. I mean, this is our life. We have nothing else. And so it's the ongoing daily whatever. And also there's just a good amount of pressure, if you will, or expectations. We've been growing really quickly. We've been one of the Inc. 5,000 companies for a few years in a row. And had I known about it earlier, we would have been since day one. We've been one of the fastest growing companies in Colorado repeatedly. And I know that velocity is important in the investment community. So there's a lot of pressure to kind of just keep moving to hit some milestones that no one's ever done before. There's also, again, there's a whole bunch of other people working here who depend on what I do and vice versa. So there's no technique per se. The closest thing to a technique is that I try to be hyper aware of the times where I'm putting off something because I just don't want to do it, even though I know it's going to make me money or be better for the business or something like that. And after a certain period of time, it's very clear to me that the anxiety that I'm imagining about how annoying it'll be to do it is worse than the loss from not having done it. And then it just gets done. Yeah. So I'm one of these people who, when I was a kid, before school started each year, I would go to Bruce's Variety in Bethesda, Maryland, and I would get whatever the coolest new notebook is and try to organize it and arrange it so I could keep track of everything and keep everything organized and have my to-do lists and blah, blah, blah. And that would usually last for like a week, and then it would just be free for all. That's sort of the way my organizational skills work. I guess I'm lucky enough that I can just keep juggling a lot of stuff in my brain at one time, and I'm very aware of all the things that need to get done. But I've never found a system that works for me. That's just not, hasn't been my thing.
Post-it notes are your friend.
Yeah.
Well, we are already coming to the end. It's amazing.
Oh, boy.
It's amazing how quickly these things go. So what I'd love to ask you now is my kind of final question. How do you celebrate when you have accomplished something?
It's all food. Yeah. So, it's something that a friend of ours, who's another serial entrepreneur, very successful guy, said to us very early on. He says, when you have some big thing happen, make sure you go celebrate. And Lena and I are foodies. And so now everyone else in the company, if they weren't before, they are now. We've introduced a lot of people to a lot of unusual food. And so we're having, again, it's been a really good year. And Christmas and New Year's are upon us as we are taping this. And so we're having one of our employees is a former professional pastry chef. So he is making something and we are meeting what he's making with a bunch of bottles of Prosecco for a little Friday afternoon. Thank you for everybody. There's something about having a good meal. That's like the perfect way to calmly recognize what's happened. Take a moment to just enjoy it, to savor it and the food. And so that's our favorite thing to do, is share that with all of our people.
Beautiful. Well, I think savor is the magic word there, because when you're celebrating, you want to savor that success. So I can see how food would be a wonderful vehicle for that. Well, Stephen, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. And I definitely want to make sure that all of our listeners, especially those of you who are into running, get in touch.
Or walking or hiking
or anything that you're doing to move with your feet. Get in touch with Stephen at zeroshoes.com, zeroshoes.com. And find out more about his products and about the amazing work that he is doing to Ignite a Movement movement. So thanks again, Stephen, for being here on the show. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your sprinty schedule there to be with us. And listeners, we adore feedback. Please let us know what you thought of today's show or send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners@menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. I also want to mention that I'm actually about to launch a Men on Purpose Mastermind. So if you're interested in finding out more about that, please get in touch with us as well. I want to thank you for tuning in. Keep your ears open and remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on iTunes and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows that now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.